B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. Seven-5, The Fanatic. It's time now for the Gargano and Mertitus Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertitus. It starts now.
Good morning and welcome into the Midday Show. No Anthony or Jason. They are still off the rest of this week. Filling in myself, Andrew Salchunas, alongside the big dog, Joe Stazak. Joe, good morning.
Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
Thanks for coming in.
I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you coming. Last time we did a show together was the day of the first Sixers playoff game.
Sixers-Nets.
So that's way back. Now here we are today, August 28th, the day after another terrible Phillies loss, where Sean Rodriguez gets rightfully booed, where Rhys Hoskins can't all of a sudden catch a baseball.
Inexplicable.
The guy's got to sit. Sit him a day. I don't care.
Probably needs it.
The guy that would play first base, I saw a lot of people tweeting, would it be JT Realmuto? No, it would be probably Logan Morrison. He did more in one at-bat than Rhys Hoskins did in the last two games.
What's wrong with Rhys?
I don't know. The guy can't catch a ball.
Since the All-Star break?
Which is terrible, and nobody wants to say anything because he's the boy wonder that everybody loves, and he walks a lot. Everybody loves that he walks a lot. Well, when he's not doing anything with runners on base, when he's not doing anything with the bat, and then when he's dropping double play balls that would have kept the game tied, we have an issue.
Bro, it's not like those balls are in the dirt and you're trying to scoop him and he's not that good at it. That was Little League.
Yes.
That's Little League.
Yes.
Drop the ball.
He now has 7 errors this season.
It wasn't a high throw. It wasn't one that pulled him off the bag. It was right to him.
It was right there.
Right to him.
And then that ends up giving the Pirates the lead, and the Pirates win the game yesterday. So the Phillies lose yet again to a team that they should not lose to. I know they won game one of that series, but they could lose another series to a below 500 club today.
Yeah, they're not getting there. They're 2 games out, and you can say, well, what are they, 5 games over 500? I don't think they have the pitching, and there's something intrinsically wrong with this team.
So you think they're done?
Oh, yeah. I said it a while ago. After the Harper Grand Slam, we were all going nuts. It was fun. Everyone's saying, turning point.
Let's see what they do after this.
Yeah. We were having fun that night. I was on with Egan. I just don't think they have the pitching. And, you know, there's one of the stars is slumping, and Harper's up and down, but it comes down to the pitching for me. It comes down to the starting pitching.
Well, yeah, that's the biggest problem.
They got one guy.
Even though Drew Smiley did okay yesterday, it's like, all right, Aaron Nola pitched a great game. They lost, and now we have to hope that Drew Smiley slows down the bleeding.
I'm surprised Smiley settled down.
Yeah, he did settle down.
He gave up a double or a triple, a home run, and a double.
Yeah, two runs in the first inning.
They just needed a single to hit for the cycle.
But in the end, next time he pitches, you don't know what you're going to expect.
Don't know what you're going to get.
He can give up 10 runs in the first 2 innings. So the Phillies are in trouble yet again, losing last night. But, of course, that's not the big story today. The big story involves the Philadelphia Eagles. Thank God. Quite frankly, I'm getting tired of talking about the Phillies. I know. I can't wait. This is going to be the longest week and a half of our lives getting ready for September 8th, where they start the season against the Redskins. Jadeveon Clowney. There are more and more rumors that are attached to the Eagles, and that's because yesterday he expressed his interest in 2 teams, the Seattle Seahawks as a landing spot for him, and of course your Philadelphia Eagles. And a lot of people immediately go, no. I saw Twitter blow up yesterday. Nobody wanted Jadeveon Clowney because everybody thought it was going to cost too much. Then you hear more and more people chime in. Then you hear guys like Adam Schefter. Then you hear from guys who cover the team with the Houston Chronicle. We have a bunch of cuts that we're going to play later on today that are going to tell you, it's not going to cost you as much.
No, it's not going to cost you a first round. I think everyone thought it would cost you a first round and like
one of your starting tackles.
Starting tackle, something ridiculous like that. No, he's very affordable. And we talked about this before the show. I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yes.
I know he might be a rental. Do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing I guess a lot of people are worried about is that you could give up a high draft pick for a guy that you're only going to have one season with. But if that leads you to another Lombardi trophy, the second one in 3 years. How could you say no to that?
You can't.
And if you look at anything that Clowney's done, especially against the Eagles last year, we were talking about it right before the show started, he basically almost killed Nick Foles. And he had a great game. That wasn't the one big play
he
had.
First thing I think of when I think of Clowney, that, you know, when he drilled Nick Foles in the sternum.
Right.
Oh, he's a nightmare.
Right.
He's a nightmare. And here's the thing. People were worried about, you know, the future and the high pick and trading guys. This is a Super Bowl potential year, yes?
Yes.
Does he make your football team better?
Yes.
Would you take a ring for a little bit of the future?
Yes.
Okay. Look at the Toronto Raptors. They gave up players. DeMar mm-hmm. Rosen and Danny Green. He goes there, wins a ring, and he's out. I'd take that.
Yeah, there was. I remember that conversation when the Raptors won. Would you give up 10 years of like 10 years oh after it for one championship? Right? And a lot of people said no, but then there were some people that would say yes. Here's the thing. The Eagles are deep enough right now that even if they only do get 1 year of Jadeveon Clowney, they can still be in the hunt next year.
Sure,
like, it's not like they're going to be in the dumpster of the NFC East for the next 10 years just if they make this trade.
No. He's icing on the cake a little bit. I mean, they're okay. The roster's okay. Defense, one of the things that has concerned me, and I've talked about it on my shows before, is the defensive end position.
Right.
Brandon Graham is what he is. Mm-hmm. He gets close. He doesn't get home all the time. You know, Vinnie Curry, you know, he's not Jadeveon Clowney. They need a stud defensive end. You know, they got rid of Michael Bennett, 9 sacks last year.
Yep.
9 sacks.
They got sack leader.
Got rid of him for a 6, could become a 5th-round pick. I mean, that was whatever it was. We don't know what it was. You know, I hear rumblings that it was a locker room issue. I never heard of that mm-hmm. last season. But certainly fills a hole, in my opinion, and a big hole. And if you can, get a lot more pressure on their quarterback, because if you don't and Jim Johnson doesn't like to blitz a lot, you're leaving everyone else on an island. So
right.
I think it would be a key acquisition, and I would do it quickly.
Yeah, and a lot of people keep on just expecting that Derek Barnett's going to take this huge leap forward. And I like Derek Barnett, and I expect big things out of Derek Barnett. But it goes back to this Phillies pitching staff, right? It's like, oh, Nick Pivetta is going to turn into Nolan Ryan this season. and that's why he's going to be our number two in the rotation. Now look at the guy. He's in the bullpen. Derek Barnett, I think, is going to be a good player. I think he was great his rookie year. He's still coming off the shoulder injury. You don't know if Derek Barnett is going to be a superstar this season. You don't. And you already know that Jadeveon Clowney is a superstar in this league.
He is a superstar. And that's why, you know, again, people worry about these picks, and not just this situation. I mean, you hear it all the time. Would you do this for a high pick? Would you do this guy for a high pick? A high pick you're hoping to get a superstar out of, right?
Right.
Well, you already got one.
Yes.
Got one right here.
Clowney is a proven superstar
in this league.
The
other thing's a crapshoot.
And the other stuff that they always bring up, oh, well, he's injury prone. How many games, Joe, has he missed in the last 2 seasons?
One.
Oh, wait, in the last 2 seasons, he only missed one game?
Yep.
But I thought he was injury prone.
Nope.
Injury prone to me is, you know, a guy that's had 2 season-ending injuries in 2 straight years, the quarterback of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that is injury prone,
yep.
Not a guy who's only missed one game in the last 2 seasons. So Jadeveon Clowney wants to come to the Eagles, right? He has spoken. He wants to either come to the Eagles or he wants to go to the Seattle Seahawks. And Jadeveon Clowney does have the power to make these decisions.
He's got some leverage.
He hasn't signed, you know, the franchise term just yet, so he does have some leverage. We'll get into all those details coming up. But the number to get in today, 610-632-0975. Me and Joe are on the same page here. It's a no-brainer.
I think it's a no-brainer.
It's not even a, maybe if they can get that third-round pick to a fourth-round pick, then I'll do it. Like, third-round pick, sign me up. And we'll play the audio from a guy who covers the Texans from the Houston Chronicle that gave out some names that the Texans could be interested in.
Oh, my goodness gracious. When he said Josh Adams, I almost fell out of my car.
I will drive him to Houston. Like, I'll pay for the gas and everything. I'll pay for any meal that he wants on the way down there. I will take Josh Adams all the way down to Houston. I won't even make him get on the damn plane. If they want Josh Adams and a third-round pick, it's a no-brainer.
No, the Eagles don't even like him that much.
Exactly. He may be cut. 610-632-0975. So we'll play the audio coming up. We have audio from Adam Schefter and all different other people that have been reporting on this Jadeveon Clowney stuff. Really, the question is, do you want him or not? It's a simple question, and it's a simple answer. Yes. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Andrew Salchunas. We're filling in for the Midday Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. The Fanatic.
10 a.m. hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all styles of windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
All right, welcome back. Midday Show. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Andrew Salchunas. We're filling in for Anthony and Jason the rest of the week. And the Jadeveon Clowney conversation will continue, Joe, but I just read something that I guess is fascinating that I need to get your opinion on. This is from Pro Football Talk, and of course, and it's also according to Zach Rosenblatt of NJ.com. Josh McCown, the backup quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, yep, that they had signed. They gave him the $2 million guaranteed money. There's also another stipulation in the contract that I'm just reading about right now.
Okay.
That I don't know if you know about, because I had no idea. In his deal with the Eagles, he gets to fly to Charlotte on Friday afternoons so he can continue his planned coaching gig at Myers Park High School.
I did not know that. You got to be kidding me, right?
And it continues by saying, with the understanding he'll return to Philadelphia shortly thereafter. So the backup quarterback, Josh McCown, is going to miss team meetings or walkthroughs on Fridays.
This is the walkthrough.
To go down to Charlotte. And hey, listen, I applaud him. He's coaching high school kids.
He's playing in the NFL.
He's playing in the NFL currently.
He's playing in the NFL, man. It's not paternity leave.
How do you react to that? And if you're Howie Roseman, how do you, I guess, like, do you okay?
So he's leaving Friday.
Friday afternoons.
Friday afternoon?
So maybe they, yeah, Friday afternoon. So maybe they will do the walkthrough early in the morning.
Okay. And what time do they practice?
That's a good question. I'll do some digging to see what their normal Friday practice schedule is.
So if they go through the walkthrough early,
yes,
which is quite possible, he flies to Charlotte. Would he turn around and come right back afterwards?
I guess it says with the understanding he'll return to Philadelphia shortly thereafter. So he either comes back Friday night, which that's a lot of travel. I know it's flying, mm-hmm, but still, that's a lot of traveling in one day. Or he comes back Saturday morning.
Okay.
Now, it's Josh McCown, so am I really going to be like, 6-1-0, do you have a problem with this? Like, no, I don't have a problem with it. It's just weird.
It's weird.
Have you heard anything like this before? You've been in the industry for a long time. Have you heard anything like this?
No. I've heard, like, you know, fly home for a graduation, paternity leave.
Not every week.
Things like that. Not every
week.
This
is every week he's going to go back to coach his high school.
Really? He couldn't bag that gift for 1 year? Or that gig for 1 year?
And I don't know if he's like the head coach of the team, because Friday night, high school games are Friday nights.
Friday nights. If he's a coordinator, really? Yeah, it's a Friday night game probably.
So maybe he comes back Saturday mornings.
First one out?
He says,
wheels up 6:30.
Here's Josh McCown. I just wanted them to be focused on the game. That's the main thing. But I understand, I guess, the situation. To have someone that's an active player in the NFL working with coaching you, that's unique. I try to appreciate that, but it was a short-lived, and I got the guys to focus on business as usual. Okay?
How do you go into the contract negotiation? Oh, by the way,
I'm a high school coach.
I got to go back and coach a bunch of 18-year-olds or 17-year-olds, but I'll be back.
I don't know. That caught my eye during the break, and I just... I don't know how to feel about it. Like, I'm not angry, but at the same time, I'm not, like, thrilled about
it. I'm not thrilled.
You're the backup quarterback to an injury-prone quarterback.
He's the backup quarterback. I mean, he's the guy.
Yeah, he's second string.
Second string.
Not Nate Sudfeld.
It's him. So you're second string quarterback, which is a very important position on this team.
Yes.
I think every team, but this team in particular.
Yes.
Okay. Again, I'd have to know a little bit more in terms of details, but you're right. It's probably a Friday night game, so he comes back Saturday morning.
I guess. I got somebody tweeting me. It's only an hour, 15-minute flight. I don't... That's not the point. The point is he's leaving his team every Friday, until high school football season's over.
That's crazy.
I don't know.
Crazy.
Right. Whatever. Jadeveon Clowney, that's the bigger news. Not Josh McCown going to coach his high school kids. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I want to start off some audio before we get to the phones. Again, the number to get in, 610-632-0975. When that news came out that he had the Eagles as a preference and also the Seattle Seahawks, there were a lot of people that weren't all that thrilled because they were afraid that Howie Roseman was going to give up too much. Well, it turns out it's not really going to be too much. And it's not just me saying that. It's not Joe Stazak saying that. It's the best guy in the industry who's saying that. And that, of course, is Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter was on with the morning show earlier today. And everybody who doesn't want to give up first-round picks, second-round picks, well, don't worry. It's not going to cost that.
If they lose him during the offseason, they'll get a compensatory draft pick, probably a third-round pick. So teams know that. So you're looking, I think, for Clowney at a guy you can't re-sign, at being a potential, I think, third-round pick.
All right, third round pick.
Cool with that.
Third round Way pick cool for that. A superstar, the injury-prone superstar who's missed one game in the last 2 years.
And, you know, before that, he played 14 games the previous season.
Which is still pretty good.
Still pretty good.
That means he got nicked up and he missed two games.
Yeah, I think he had a concussion.
Okay.
All right.
Happens all the time.
Sure. Third round pick. I was thrilled to hear that.
Now, third round pick is not all it's going to cost. It's also going to cost a few players. And you might go, oh, well, I don't want to give up this starter or this starter. It's not going to give up. It's not going to cost a starter either. So Aaron Wilson also joined the morning show earlier today with Mark Farzetta, Bob Cooney, and Jamie Lynch. And he gave some more detail on what else it could cost. He actually says in this cut a second round pick. Now, no offense to Aaron Wilson, the Houston Chronicle. I'm going to believe Adam Schefter over Aaron Wilson. So if Adam Schefter says third round pick, I believe it's a third round pick. But listen to some of the names that Aaron Wilson brings up in this cut about what it could cost to get Jadeveon Clowney.
Right, I heard Corey Clement. I also heard Josh Adams' name, the Notre Dame guy. I heard that come up.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he would fit them, and he's just a... You know, I think that's Bill O'Brien. They love Notre Dame, and you know, he's a physical runner. So what they need is a physical runner that complements Duke Johnson as a pass-catching guy. So they need someone that can bump a little bit and break some tackles. And, yeah, I think Clement, Adams, those are names that are palatable to them. And backup lineman or Nelson Aguilar, yes. Just it says that they're reasonable. Just want to make a deal.
They just want to make – okay. When he says they just want to make a deal – that gives all the power to Howie Roseman. Oh, you just want to make a deal? All right, here's a bag of balls while we're at it. But you heard those names. Josh Adams, who could be cut. Corey Clement, who, hey, made some good plays in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Nelson Aguilar, who's got $9 million cap hit this year. That helps you out with the cap situation with Jadeveon Clowney. How could you not make that deal?
Well, if it's Josh Adams, my goodness. I mean, the Eagles don't even like him that much. He took one snap in the playoffs last year.
Yes.
I mean, one snap. He's a fumbler. I got to think that Houston's going to want more than Josh Adams as the player. Maybe another guy. You mentioned Nelson Aguilar. It would be probably a decent fit for them down there.
Mm-hmm.
They probably need a slot guy. He can play the slot. He turned into a decent player, pretty good player. And you're right, the $9 million salary he's getting paid this year. It's a nice flip-flop. Takes a chunk out of that.
And I like Nelson Aguilar a lot. Like, I actually like him a lot more than I feel like a lot of other people do.
I like him.
But if it gets me Jadeveon Clowney and I still have Alshon Jeffery and DeSean Jackson and all those other weapons, and we're going to get into those weapons because the DeSean Jackson news yesterday kind of frightens me a little bit for week one. I'll explain why in a little bit. But if that's what you have to give up, Nelson Aguilar, a running back that you might cut in Josh Adams and a third-round pick according to Adam Schefter, how could you not make that deal for a superstar?
What if it's a second-round pick?
I'm still doing it.
I am, too.
I'm still doing it.
Again, a second-round pick's a crapshoot. You're getting a superstar for, okay, say it's 1 year. They have a window here.
Yes.
It's a Super Bowl potential season. And, you know, look, the Rams went all in last year, just signing guys, one-year deals, short-term deals. I think you got to go all in.
I agree. And it's not like it's a second-round pick and... I don't know. A lot of people love Jordan Mailata. It's not a second-round pick. I saw one person tweet in Andre Dillard. No. It's not Andre Dillard. It's a second-round pick and a backup lineman, as Aaron Wilson said, or Josh Adams, or Corey Clement, or Nelson Aguilar. I'm all in. So I want to hear what people think about that. 610-632-0975. The other question is, would you sign him to a long-year deal afterward?
Well, the other thing is they do have an opportunity to sign him afterwards. He might not be a rental. They do have the opportunity to still sign him at the end of the year. He mentioned his two teams, Seattle and the Eagles. He obviously wants to go to a winner. That's why I don't think he's going to sign with the Dolphins for 1 year. And Dolphins aren't giving up Laremy Tunsil.
Nope.
So I he might, but I would highly doubt. He's the only team that he actually talked to so far, but I would highly doubt he's going to go to them because they're not a contender this year. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they tanked this year to get a quarterback.
Yeah, you're probably right. Now, let's hear what the people think. Let's go to the phones and talk to Sam in Seattle. Sam, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Sam?
Hi, Sam.
Hey, before I say anything, just in case Sean Rodriguez is listening, it's okay, Reese Hoskins. We'll get him next time.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Don't worry, Reese. You just dropped the double play ball that basically cost you the game. It's okay. Don't worry about it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all right. We'll get him today. About the clown, it's it's an easy answer. I mean, let's do it. I don't know why you don't have to give up much. You don't have to do anything. It puts you over the top, I think, because we already have. Because I don't trust Vinny. I don't trust Vinny Curry. I also don't trust. We love Brandon Graham, but Brandon Graham is he's average to good, I think, at best.
See, I agree
with
Sam.
He's a great player.
Yeah,
he's been here. We love him. We drafted him, but I think that Clowney would put us, just because him, Cox. Because I don't think Clowney and J.J. Watt play too much together. Because J.J. Watt's been hurt, and when J.J. Watt wasn't hurt, Clowney was missing games. So he's been getting a lot of double teams. Over here, he's gonna wreck things up. I think it's gonna be awesome if they can do this deal.
Yeah, you're right, Sam. It is a no-brainer. Now, on the comment screen here, it says that you're not giving him a long-term deal. Why do you think that? Why would you not want to give him a long-term deal?
That's what I was gonna say. Because I just don't want to. Because then long-term means 20 per year, closer to like 18 to 20 per year. It's gonna be almost quarterback money. So I don't know if I could paying him. In Cox, Wentz, doesn't that, going forward? I mean, I know how he's a, cap guru, but
right.
Doesn't that screw you up? It doesn't tie your hands?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we put that into the hands of Howie Roseman. We appreciate the call, Sam. That's obviously Howie Roseman's job. But, Joe, do you feel any concern about signing him to a long-term deal? I mean, the guy's missed one game in the last 2 years. Yes, you would have a lot of money on that line and Jadeveon Clowney and Fletcher Cox. And Carson Wentz obviously is the big payday. Does that hurt you throughout the rest of the team? I mean, you have Lane Johnson locked up. You have Andre Dillard on that rookie contract. I'm trying to think of the more important positions. Alshon Jeffrey's probably not going to be here after this season. You have DeSean Jackson already locked up. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's on the rookie contract. He's going to end up being Alshon's replacement at some point. Running backs are a dime a dozen. You're not paying all that much money for running backs anyway. Would you give him a big contract? He will ask for a lot of money.
Yeah, he's going to ask for a ton of money.
Right.
I want to see what he does this year, but I mean, he's got pedigree. He has 18.5 sacks in the last 2 years. It's a lot more than they have right now on defensive end position. Mm-hmm. A lot more. And I agree with Sam. Brandon Graham, we love him. He had the strip sack on Brady.
Yep.
Awesome guy. Very nice guy, very personable, has a great personality, but he gets close. I mentioned him before. I think he's just a shorter, blacker Mike Mamula. He doesn't get home all the time. In fact, he doesn't get home a lot. Now, he causes a lot of hurries, has some quarterback hits, but I need a guy to get home. That's why I was upset they got rid of Michael Bennett.
Right.
Because
of the
defensive ends, he was the one getting home. And even earlier in the season, he was only playing spot work. So that replaces that number. I just feel much more comfortable in a defensive end position. They need a marquee pass rusher in this game. In the game of football, you have to obviously protect your quarterback and attack their quarterback. And I mean, that's the key. End the play quickly, as late Jim Johnson used to say. And if you let your quarterback sit back there for 4 or 5 seconds, it's going to cost you in the secondary.
Right. And if you look at some of the names on this roster, right, Brandon Graham, in the last 3 seasons combined, he has 19 sacks. And you said Jadeveon Clowney's at 18.5 in the last two.
Yep.
So there you go. He's already a better player than Brandon Graham just in the sack total. And I have to reach out to my man, Derek Gunn, because D. Gunn was talking about Clowney a few weeks ago when he was on with Anthony and Jason. And Brandon Graham's best season of his career was the Super Bowl year in 2017, where he had 9.5 sacks. I have to find the exact number from Derek Gunn, but his percentage of snaps in 2017 was far less than any other season in his career, except for like when he first joined the league.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's probably a good thing to bring in another guy who could replace Brandon Graham, his percentage of snaps, so that Graham can be more of a rotational guy, because that's when he was at his best, was 2 years ago, when he was more so a rotational guy.
I have no qualms with bringing in Jadeveon Clowney. And again, we'll see what kind of money he wants. Because I always say, look, you look at the Patriots, their business plan, they don't put a ton of money into certain positions.
Right.
You know, the certain positions you pay for, certain positions you don't. And they seem to get rid of anybody who wants money, and it works for them. So, and they've already put some money in the defensive line. But again, I think they need, and it's been a problem, in my opinion, for the last umpteen years, is they need an elite pass rusher. Again, last year, listen, Bennett put up numbers like Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
So, but Jadeveon Clowney's a little bit more consistent, but they lost that. And again, you look at like the Von Millers, DeMarcus Wares of the world, you know, J.J. Watts, guys that can really get home, and what a difference that makes for your defense.
Well, yeah, I look back at, I brought this up a couple of times. The corners that you had last year before Darby and Mills got hurt were the same corners you had in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And what did the Eagles do in 2017 far better than they did last year? They got to the quarterback in 2017. So guys like Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills played a lot better.
They look a lot better.
When the quarterback doesn't have as much time.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they couldn't get home last season until Michael Bennett really went off in that second half of the year. And that's when guys like Cravon LeBlanc looked like Darrell Revis.
Started looking pretty good.
You know what I mean?
Right? Sure.
So 2 years ago, when you were getting to the quarterback at ease with guys like Chris Long and Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett and Fletcher Cox, of course, up the middle, and Tim Jernigan up the middle, and what's his name? The guy that went to Tampa Bay. Bo Allen.
Thank you.
Bo Allen and Vinny Curry. All those guys 2 years ago were getting to the quarterback, making your corners looking so much better. Last year you didn't. And those corners got beat up in the first couple of weeks of that season.
Yeah, and with Jim Johnson's, the way he runs a defense. Last year, you're right, they got smoked defensively.
Yeah.
The secondary, they gave up, I think they were 23rd in pass touchdowns. Touchdown passes against. We watched it. It was painful at times. Just painful when the quarterback would sit back there with time and just pick you up. Marcus Mariota on the 4th and 15. You know, just sitting back there.
Couldn't get home.
High school quarterback's going to pick you apart if you give him a lot of time. So, again, Michael Bennett's gone. Brandon Graham is, they gave him a 3-year extension. And I don't know if I would have done that. He's okay. He's good. Vinnie Curry, I'm not sold on. They lost Chris Long. Again, teams, you look at the successful teams in this league, like a Dante Hightower for New England, guys that can really wreak havoc
right
in the offensive backfield are guys you need, and they don't have that here.
You're right. But are we missing something? And again, the number to get in, 610-632-0975. BMAC tweets in, I'm out on Clowney. He's overrated. His numbers prove it. Don't want to give up capital. I don't want to pay him. Don't like his reported work ethic or lack thereof, both college and pro. The Eagles' window is 7 to 10 years. Why blow the roster up and salary cap for 1 year? Are you blowing the roster up?
7 to 10 years, is it?
Are you blowing the roster up? Is Josh Adams blowing the roster up?
No, not at all.
Is Nelson Aguilar blowing the roster up?
Absolutely not.
I mean, if you look at how well Arthego Whiteside played in the preseason. Obviously, they're two different types of receivers, Nelson Aguilar and Arthego Whiteside, but he played well enough in the preseason where you said, okay, I have confidence in this guy getting snaps offensively this year. If you have Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson on the outsides, and if you want to go 12 personnel, right, you have Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz on the field at the same time, do you really need Nelson Aguilar? Is Nelson Aguilar trading him, blowing up the roster?
No.
Is Josh Adams or Corey Clement blowing up the roster? I would give them both.
They're deep at receiver. I'd do the same thing. Listen, they're pretty loaded at running back. At least we think Miles Sanders is going to be good. Corey Clement, obviously, when he was healthy, had a great Super Bowl year. But, you know, we're talking about Jadeveon Clowney and Nelson Aguilar. You know, Nelson, we hardly knew you. Say goodbye. Say goodbye to that, you know, big money you're getting paid this year. I like him too. I think I'm on, you know, I'm on the same page with you in terms of liking him more than other people do. But they have depth at wide receiver. Now they have DeSean as a deep threat. You got Arthego Whiteside, you know, coming up the ranks. I think he's going to get some playing time this year.
Oh yeah, of course, especially in the red zone, right?
Especially in the red zone, that's where he's deadly. So I think you can afford to give up a Nelson Aguilar. You got to give up. I mean, listen, you want to, in a trade, you know, you have to give up something. You have to give up something that the Texans, you know, put yourself all the time. Callers call in, you know, make up scenarios where a trade, where, you know, It's so one-sided. I'm like, you got to think of the other side, too.
Michael Kendricks.
Yes.
Jahlil Okafor.
Right.
How many times have you heard those guys?
Right. Exactly. So, you know, you got to give up something. And if it's not a big boatload, like, you know, Adam Schefter said, then what are we talking about? What are we thinking?
610-632-0975. BMAC, who tweeted in, is on the line. We'll get to him in a little bit. But one thing that you mentioned, you just brought up the name DeSean Jackson. Joe, I'm getting kind of concerned for week one now, all of a sudden. Carson Wentz, I was at first on the he's got to play some snaps in the preseason bandwagon. Now, of course, after Kessler goes down and Sudfeld goes down, I start to change my mind a little bit. But I am concerned that there's going to be rust week one with Carson Wentz. And you hear the reports that he isn't connecting with DeSean Jackson downfield in practice. And the deep ball still seems to be a little bit of a problem. Now you have a broken finger for DeSean Jackson. That came out yesterday. He's going to have a splint. We'll see if he should be good enough to play, but he's got the finger issue. Fletcher Cox, Doug Peterson's confident that he'll be ready for the season opener, but Fletcher Cox didn't want to give any answers yesterday. He said, talk to me next week. Lane Johnson, we don't know if Lane Johnson's going to be ready for week one. And if Carson Wentz is coming back week one, first time playing in like 9 months, and he doesn't have his right tackle out there, I'm starting to get a little concerned.
I'm not concerned.
Not at all?
Well, I'd be happier if they were all healthy.
Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, DeSean Jackson, it's not a bad... If you're going to break a finger, it's not a bad one to break. When you catch a football, you're usually doing it with your thumb and the first two fingers. You throw your pinky in there. Depends how bad the break is, too.
Right.
You know, if it's a clean break, you know, a small fracture, put the custom splint on, I think he's good to go. And I think it is probably not too bad of a break because 3 to 4 weeks is going to be healthy,
right,
according to, you know, reports. So I don't think it's a bad break. I think he'll be fine. But I'm concerned a little bit about Fletcher Cox, although Doug Peterson said he should be ready.
He should be ready. Now, I'm not saying like, oh, I'm concerned to the point where they're going to lose, right? But we're almost there. We're almost at week one. They still have lingering issues with injuries.
Sure.
The linebacker depth is still not there. The DN depth is still not there. Josh Sweat, who everybody thought was going to be the superstar, can't get home against backup tackles at this point in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just starting to get a little concerned that all these injuries are still lingering and all these other issues are still lingering. And I know Howie Roseman's a guy that can make a trade and all that stuff. I have Super Bowl expectations for this year. I just want it to be perfect. Forgive me. 610-632-0975. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Andrew Salchunas. We're filling in for Anthony and Jason right here on the Midday Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! All right, so Joe, we have a prize today, in case you were wondering. It was great to have college football back last week.
Yeah, unless you root for Miami.
Oh, yeah. Sorry for your loss.
No problem. We'll be all right. Maybe in 3 years.
Sorry for your loss. It's all right. You'll get there. You know, I hope Manny Diaz never wins a game.
10 sacks a game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope Manny Diaz fails.
I know you do. You're not a big Diaz guy.
No,
huh?
I'm rooting for his failure.
Creator of the turnover chain.
I'm rooting for his failure. I hope he fails.
Well, and why is this?
Because he turned down the Temple job after agreeing to the Temple job.
Yeah, the guy had other aspirations.
He's dead to me. But anyway, speaking of the Temple Owls, we actually have a pair of Temple tickets to give away for this Saturday's game. Temple Bucknell, so Temple kicks off their season. They battle Bucknell on Saturday, August 31st at 3 p.m. at Lincoln Financial Field. Kids tickets on game day are only $10, but visit owlstix.com. So we're doing football conversation today, and we'll give a pair of tickets to the best caller of the day who wants to join in. Of course, the number 610-632-0975. We will give away a pair of Fantasy Fest tickets. Fan Fest is over. We're going to give away a pair of Temple tickets to the best caller of the day, and the topic of conversation that we have going on today is whether or not you would want Jadeveon Clowney, and we'll roll through the cuts in a little bit. Adam Schefter joined the morning show earlier today. Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle joined the show earlier today and sort of gave out the price range of what it would cost to get Clowney to come here to Philadelphia, and it's not going to cost you as much as you thought. Now, I see a couple of tweets, and this one from WhatUp79, he tweets in, Keep in mind, Aguilar was a first-round pick also. To trade him and a second-round pick might be a little high for Jadeveon. With that being said, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside does have great hands. I see his upside is higher than Aguilar. So you just answered your question on the second half there, saying Arcega-Whiteside's upside's higher than Aguilar.
He also said Aguilar in a second-round pick, which is, we talked about that. It's probably going to be a third.
If it ends up being a second, I'm still doing
I'm
deal.
I'm cool with it, yeah.
Just because Aguilar was once a first-round pick.
It doesn't matter where he got picked. It's what he has done since.
Okay, so what up? Answer this question for yourself. Has Nelson Aguilar performed at like a first-round pick in his career?
A first-round pick?
He had one good season. Really good season.
And he was horrible. It was okay in one season, very good in one season, and he was not good. I don't know if he's a first-round pick. I'd say maybe high second.
Okay, so he hasn't performed like a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So why wouldn't you do that deal?
Yeah.
Just because he was once a first-round pick.
Right, exactly.
How many times have teams in all sports, like Markelle Fultz was formerly a first overall pick, you traded him for nothing.
How'd that work out?
You got Jonathan Simmons, right? You had to give up Markelle Fultz to get Jonathan Simmons.
Don't remind me, man. Don't remind me.
But it's like, okay, he was once a first overall pick, but he stinks. He's a bust. Now, Nelson Aguilar's not a bust, but he hasn't played like a first-round pick, so you can't use that kind of logic there.
None.
Right?
No, I can't do that.
Okay, 610-632-0975. To me and Joe, it's a simple answer. Yes, you make that trade for Jadeveon Clowney, even if it is just one season. We're not even talking about bringing him in and extending him to 5, 6, 7 years. We're talking about
it's the window.
1 year, a rental project, bringing in Jadeveon Clowney to add to that defensive line of Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett and Fletcher Cox and Tim Jernigan and Malik Jackson and Vinnie Curry. You're adding a star to an already pretty deep defensive line. I know the ends aren't that deep, but if you also add in the front two with Fletcher Cox and Malik Jackson and Tim Jernigan, you got a pretty deep defensive line, correct?
You do.
Yes.
And they're okay at wide receiver. I mean, they have some luxury there at wide receiver. And, you know, Nelson Aguilar with the big money, go ahead. You know, make that trade. There is a window here, and it's not 10 years like, you know, gentleman called a little bit ago and,
right.
and said. Right now, it's a one-year window. I mean, if you want to extend it a little bit, yeah, it's probably 2 or 3 years. You know how those are fleeting, and you never know from 1 year to the next. Look at Jacksonville, go 5-11 last year, almost making it a Super Bowl year before. Mm-hmm. That's fleeting. This is the year. Are you all in or not? Are you all in or not? They should be all in. They should be all in with this team they put together.
If we all have Super Bowl aspirations for this season, then you have to say yes. Now, I do think this team could be good enough, but imagine being even better with a superstar on your team.
I agree. You know, you're preaching to the choir here. I'm all in with it. I would pull the trigger, and you know Howie. He's damn good at trades. He always seems to come out looking pretty good, you know, raking folks.
Speaking of a good GM and Howie Roseman compared to a bad GM, and that's what's going on in Houston as we speak, I have a very interesting tweet from Ross Tucker, who, of course, was doing the color analyst for the Eagles preseason games. I'll read that tweet in a little bit. It just shows how lucky we are to have Howie Roseman and not what's going on down south. Let's go to Jimmy and Mount Holly. Jimmy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Andrew, if you wind up driving Josh Adams down to Houston, he's not going to let you go in if he wants to stop in any coffee shops along the way.
That's fine. You there?
Yeah, I'm there. I thought you were going to say more. As far as the... I was only kidding with you. I hope you don't take that seriously.
I know, Jim.
But anyway, Clowney, as I was telling Josh when he screamed me before I came on, if they get the JV and Clowney, in my opinion, they would then have no theoretical weaknesses on either side of the ball. I mean, you have to get this man.
Yeah, I agree. The one, I guess, weakness you could say is that linebacker, but linebacker's not the same position as it was 10 years ago.
Plus, he's very good against the run. In fact, you're a genius. You're as good in football as you are in baseball, because I'm concerned about our defense against the run because the linebacking is a little thin. But to me, he compensates to a large degree there, too. And this is a perfect fit. I mean, Schwartzy hates blitzing. He won't have to all year. And I like our secondary, I mean, more than most. I mean, I love Rasul. I love Avante. I think Darby
is going to have a fabulous year because of this contract year. Maybe even Sidney Jones steps up. I tell you what, I told somebody, if they get Clowney, I am going to make a proposition bet that they